Pipe and Stuffers Football Podcast. I'm your host, Roger Kirby, and with me today, after a hiatus, Mr. Stephen Rudkin.
Welcome back, everyone. Over a year sabbatical for the two of us. I'm sure we've conquered the world and achieved lots in all that time, but we're back.
We are. And better than ever?
Well, we'll see how this goes. I'm sure there's a few cobwebs.
It's a very low bar that we did set, so.
Yeah, it's a rusty old start.
Very rusty. It's taken about five goes.
I'll be fair, it was three. But we got just about 6 weeks before the start of the 2017 season.
Yeah, and excited for football to be back.
Well, there's a game of football, double inverted commas, in 5 days' time.
There is.
One series scrimmage.
I suppose I'm going to have to bite the bullet, get the credit card out and purchase Game Pass.
Yeah, well, strictly no debit cards, it says. It's credit card only, which is unusual. But we'll have our rants about Game Pass, I'm sure, over the ensuing episode.
if we can't, you know, beat them down, maybe we'll have to work from the inside.
There is a few
jobs available that fits my resume.
Yeah, indeed. A lot of change. NFL.com's has changed their look and appearance. Game Pass is changing. And obviously a lot of changes have happened in the last 15 months since we last recorded one of these bad boys.
Yeah, so I think start off by explaining why we're back.
Well, we could go with that. We didn't really explain why we left.
Well, I think, I think speak for the pair of us, and, you know, correct me if I'm speaking out of turn, but I think the fantasy football side of it for me definitely became a negative rather than a positive. I was watching games on the Sunday and actually beginning to get really frustrated and annoyed when my fantasy team wasn't winning. And that's just who I am. I'm built to win things and be very competitive. And that wasn't the reason that I got involved in it initially. And when it became like that, I needed to get out. So that was my motivation. And obviously at the time, the podcast was heavily linked to engaging the people that were playing in those fantasy leagues. So it was a great group of people, but again, very, very selfish reasons. Just, you know, it was nice to watch football last year without an agenda and just watch it for watching sake, which is what I got into watching it in the first place, because soccer ball sucks.
There it is, the first soccer ball sucks reference. And I think both of our nature is when we do something, we go all in. And so looking back on our fantasy days, we were so all in that it was all consuming. And yeah, you'd sit there and not, you wouldn't really realize what happened in the game because you're worried about your points.
Yeah, and Monday was just like, work was all about like fretting over, you know, who do I bring in? You know, how has this guy screwed me? I've got him in League One, but in League Three, you know, it's just not sensible. So, happy to have watched the games last year and happy to feel a bit more organized, at peace with things to be able to sort of talk about football again. So.
Yeah, and we obviously looking to come back after having a year off, and there's been a whole football season that's ensued that was quite a very interesting season that we obviously haven't talked about or covered on the airwaves. So I guess briefly we just kind of catch up what our views are, I guess, on what's happened in the last year. We've had the Super Bowl 51 with the Patriots' almighty comeback. That was obviously got so many storylines coming out of that, and just incredible to see what the Patriots did. And it's they're on for six, aren't they, this year? That's the plan.
Yeah, and I think what's been a standout for me is that quarterback play has become ever more important. And for that reason, you can be picking constantly year after year at the top of that draft. But if you can't find a functional quarterback, I still don't think you need one that's absolutely lighting it up, you know, in the top echelons, you know, the Rodgers and the Bradys of this world. But
You
I
just
think
need to be above the Andy Dalton line.
you need, you know, somebody that is functional on a week-to-week basis that isn't having constant meltdowns. The status quo of the NFL hasn't changed because of that. And you look at the teams that have started on the rise. So you think of the teams that this year going into the year, and I think we're going to do episodes moving forward where we break down each of the different conferences and divisions. But Tampa, Titans, you know, they're the two that you think, yeah, they've got a chance. And if, you know, you look at the Jags roster. Well, what's holding them back? You know, Bortles has a good year potentially. They're back in the mix, and it's all driven by the guy that's under center. So I think it's going to be very, very interesting moving forward because the rich seem to get richer and the poor just seem to get poorer, which is not the way that the NFL was intended to be in the first place.
Yeah, and scarily, all the talk is about how the Patriots have reloaded like never before for a Super Bowl winning team that everybody's just already putting them down as a what, 19-0 season and another Super Bowl with what they've added, or more importantly, what they've kept. Like during the off season, they didn't end up losing people like Butler and
Yeah, not losing him and bringing in you know, additional strength at quarterback and paying a lot of money for that position and then, you know, adding, you know, different pieces along the way, you know, Kony Ealy, you know, David Harris, I think's an interested signing. You know, what Gillislee's going to be doing as well is they're all interested, but even Rex Burkhead, you know, the way in which the Patriots go about their business is different because, you know, he'll have a small role on offense, but also special teams. He'll be a special teams standout.
Yeah, and I always get worried about this when you hear all throughout this off season the storylines and people end up talking up too much about teams that it's almost rubber stamped in that the Patriots have done all this, and therefore it's a little bit worrying. It often never happens quite as you expect. So all this talk about their strength and reloading, maybe it doesn't work out and it doesn't mesh, and the gradual decline does happen for TB12. And similarly, selfishly, I'm nervous and worried about all the hype about the newly named Los Angeles Chargers. Too much hype and talk about them going forward, and I'm a bit nervous about it. I want to keep quiet and go under the radar and see where we go this coming season in our new home.
Yeah, I think defensively, the Chargers worry me. They always seem a little bit. They've got a soft underbelly. Now, whether Anthony Lynn is gonna change that dynamic.
Yeah, watching a few snippets from some OTAs, he's a little bit more of a taskmaster than McCoy was. And obviously the big switch in schemes to Gus Bradley coming in is going to make a difference. Likewise, in the same city, you've got changes happening with like Phillips changing the system in for the Rams. Lots of changes across the board, and it's just going to be exciting to watch how everything unfolds this year.
Yeah, and McVay came across very, very good in the last episode of All or Nothing. But again, whether that transpires is going to be interesting because, again, you come back to that quarterback position. I think Goff gets a bit of a free pass last year because of what went on. I think All or Nothing did a very, very good job of really showing you the mess that he came into. And also raised, and for me, a wider debate about the ability of players to pick their destinations. You know, you think about golf, and you wonder in a different circumstance with a different setup and a different coaching staff, would he have thrived early doors? I mean, look at Lyle Collins.
Yeah, we talked about this in the week before we recorded that by not going drafted, he managed to essentially pick the best option. Obviously, the team that probably wanted to give him the most money at the same time, but you get that system that works for you and you can look across the board. I mean, you could. I've almost been looking at something that's a little bit along these lines. Is I'm thinking about Andrew Luck, right? And he basically came into a good position. I know he's a super talented individual and he didn't really need that time like these younger, less hyped guys. But he had that good first year with Arians involved. And then I've been looking at the Colts, the coaching staff, etc., that he's had to work with. And okay, Andrew Luck's a great talent, but I almost feel a lot of his lack of success. We know the roster's been a bit of a mess at times, but his offensive coordinators and coaches have just been abysmal since Arians moved on. I mean, this year, for example, he has to work with Joe Philbin as an assistant offensive head coach, Chudzinski, and he's now got Brian Schottenheimer as his QB coach. I mean, sometimes the right pieces around a guy are obviously going to make such a difference. And for me, that's the type of thing that's holding back Luck from this really amazing
Yeah,
career that we expect from him.
I really didn't realize that that was quite as
Yeah.
bad as that in Indy. I knew obviously that they were quick to sort of boot through Hamilton, and obviously there was the whole. I mean, Pagano's a defensive-minded coach as it is, and Gregson was well, Gregson, and Chris Ballard. I don't know, is it Ballard? Ballard?
Valid.
No, it's a Ballard. It's very northern. He seems to have, gone very aggressive in terms of trying to fix things quickly. But again, you bang on, the environment and that, Hard Knocks and all or nothing did a very, very good job of the coaching staff can make a huge difference,
I mean,
massively
you
so.
like, for example, again, like last year with All or Nothing, you saw how a guy like David Johnson working with a coach like Arians has just evolved into what is one probably the top two back in the country, up there with Le'Veon Bell, and who he's working with, and that structure around him is perfect for a guy who didn't come that highly rated and is making the most of it and being used to his best potential. And you can see that all across the league, guys who just go to the wrong places and just fade out, really. So just going back there on All or Nothing, because you managed to watch all of it, I believe.
Yes.
And you very kindly offered your Amazon Prime subscription across to me so I could watch a few.
Which I'm
And
sure is perfectly legal.
yes. That's literally what I did. I've only watched a few. I think I'm only halfway through episode three. And I tell you why. I just got so bored of Jeff Fisher. And I know he's about to go in the series, but I've
Yes.
almost haven't been able to get past that point. And I know it gets better as you see that unfold, but it's just made me not want to watch it. And just can't believe a guy like that has been in that position for so long.
Well,
Yes, like a steady hand and everything, but nothing to offer much.
no, and I think it also has shown Greg Williams to be
Oh.
everything that you thought he was. And I grasp that, some of these guys are on year-to-year deals and they're not earning potentially life-changing money, but they're still multi-millionaires, a large chunk of that locker room. If they retire, if they walked away from the game tomorrow, they'd have, if they changed and adapted their lifestyles, they wouldn't have to work again. I just don't see how in the 21st century, in 2017, getting up in somebody's grill and literally just putting them on blast motivates anybody. I just,
Yeah, I'm worried about that as a Browns
I would be. It's a huge red flag for me because you'll see a clip in the last episode when he's at the Browns, and you've literally put a different uniform on the guys there. Nothing's changed.
Especially when you've got such a young roster that's probably impressionable. But as you say, I think the younger kids more so aren't going to respond to that. I know the millennials, we like to think we're a bit above the millennials, but
we're not, by definition, we are. Yeah.
And they almost like to, I thought the cutoff was 1983 and beyond. No?
Yes, you
well,
might
it makes
not
you
be.
One.
Yeah.
I'm like 2 months above.
Yeah, does that mean you're Generation X?
I have no idea. I'm lost in the middle.
Because you are really not.
I do know.
White middle class is unreal.
Yeah, I do know. I'm very hard done by. Apparently in this country, all the statistics say that anyone born from my year of birth is basically in the worst position financially in terms of loads of factors. But anyway, that's another podcast for another day. The socio-economical state of the UK. But going back, where were we talking about? Yeah, the Browns, Greg Williams. And I mean, I almost wonder if Garrett is such one of those, depends what your type of personality is, but that type of guy, that like Miles Garrett, if he's the number one guy and thinks himself as kind of the man, and you could just see aggression on aggression, just butting heads as well. And I don't think it meshes well with the Browns and their long-term view as well.
No, and the Browns have got to see this through now. For me, you know, they've made an investment in this way of thinking. They are set up for the next two drafts, and it's not going to be a change. You know, if they can somehow get 6 wins this year, I think that's a real positive step in the right direction. But again, they've got issues at quarterback because Cody Kessler, I think, has a potential to be a backup in the league.
Yeah.
You know, for a solid chunk of time, he is not a starter. Osweiler, again, who knows? Clearly, it wasn't done with the intention of making him the face of the franchise. It was purely done about creating draft picks and also spending, you know, what they have to spend in terms of cap. So, and Deshaun Kaiser. Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kaiser, isn't it? Both have got the same first name. Freaking me out then a moment. I was doubting myself. Yeah, but Kaiser, yeah, he's relatively under the radar when you consider that all the moves that were made for Trubisky and the other guys that went at the top and you know people came up and got them.
Yeah, and it's just one of those things where situationally whether a Kessler can do enough of a job that even if he's not the long-term answer, they don't have to throw Kaiser in straight away. And so many, as we've seen, quarterbacks get thrown to the wolves if they are forced in there too early. And Kaiser seems like a guy who needs just a little bit more time.
And I almost think you're better off him coming in as the saviour.
Yeah.
Not the saviour, but almost in the sense of that, you know, things aren't going great, and then you bring him in, and you're in a bit more of a win-win then. But no, interesting year for the Browns, if whether they can see, and it definitely does look like the Jets are looking to clear house with McCagnan will be gone, and so will Bowles. New GM, relatively high in the draft with a new coach.
Yep, and I still can't believe out of all of their changes and moves. That Richardson's still there because he was one who just seemed last year that he had already given up. But maybe there's a change in attitude with a younger roster that some of the old guys might have been negative influences in the locker room. So there could be. I'm trying to be skew positive there for the Jets, but it's a time and it's a long term thing, and just like it is for. Your team, with your new GM and head coach on their 6-year deals over in San Francisco.
Yeah, and I thought We had a very, very positive off season. You know, signing those two guys to 6-year contracts for me was a statement of intent. I know contracts aren't worth the paper they're written on, but you're gonna have to be seriously insane to, you know, fire these guys after 2 years and pay them up for four, the remaining four. So you're thinking that they're gonna get at least four of those six?
Yeah. They'll get some time.
So, you know, as much as that Hoyer frustrates me immensely as a QB, he knows the system. We didn't overreach in the draft. I think giving up another number one like the Chiefs, the Texans, and the Bears did for QBs that aren't what you would call de facto
superstars.
They're not de facto franchise QBs. I think was the right move. And I was very, very pleased.
It goes back to what you said at the start about serviceable QBs and the state of QB play across the league. And Hoyer is exactly that. He's serviceable to a point, and you want to see that's a perfect situation for him to blood in new guys long term or do a job for the time being.
Yeah, and I think if we can improve the O-line so we can make that O-line to match what it is that the system that Shanahan wants to win, you know, mobile guys that can run that stretch bootleg system. And then you've also got, let's make the D what it was when we had Harbaugh and we were knocking on the door. You know, it was mentioned on the podcast, I don't know which one it was this week. It may have been a PFT commentator, was it? Not PFT commentator. Big Cat.
Big Cat from Barstool.
Bart from Barstool. Apologies.
Gibbs is agreeing with you in the background.
Yes. But yeah, it's that whole thing of... Right, sorry, let me just get him out. We'll have to...
Sorry.
Gibbs, come here. Douchebag. So you said something about the bit like your 49ers. Should we go back to that?
What did you say? You could just say, once we worked out that it was Barstool, you could just say,
I'll say Barstool. I'll say Barstool Big Cat on PFT. So Barstool Big Cat mentioned on the PFT podcast with Mike this week about no coincidence that the Patriots have gone on and won things since improving their defense.
And it's that strength as well on both lines up front, and that's also one of the things. If you look at Browns, made a great improvement this year on their O-line, so definitely an area that is going to have to take time for the Niners to get, one, back to where they were, and two, as you say, where they need to be to operate the Shanahan system moving forward. So
yeah, and the benchmark in that division is the Seahawks.
Yeah,
you know, they still are, and as much as there appears to be unrest, and I think some of that unrest is media created outside, because they've got a few, they let the inmates run the asylum, and by doing that you're going to get people that talk a little bit more naturally, as opposed to, you know, the Patriot ways. You don't say anything to that's outside of the sports speak. But, you know, it's. I think that's interesting and all. I think that's something definitely that I want to, I'd love to explore later this year, is that, you know, you think of the two most successful franchises of the last 5 years? Patriots and the Seahawks run a completely different operation. I think that's fascinating and shows that you can have success either way.
Yeah, very much so. There's many ways to skin a cat, I believe
Oh,
the phrase goes.
that is a phrase. Well done.
Yeah. We're kind of just about done a nice little getting on half an hour recap around all the leagues goings on
Nice.
over 12 months. I was just thinking, in that time, you've also had two teams in the last 6 months announce their moves. Obviously, Chargers confirmed that they were going to go to LA. And then the Raiders have gone and made their move that they're going to Vegas. So many things happening, changes
Yeah,
afoot.
and your feelings on that? Just quick.
Well, I am very excited to see them play in the StubHub this year. That sounds fun. And I think, as we've talked about before, sometimes these teams could do better by having a more sustainable, smaller stadium that isn't a bit of a white elephant when the 8 games a year you're playing in your stadium isn't being used. Have high quality but smaller stadiums. But obviously that's going to dramatically change for the Chargers with a few years there before moving into, unfortunately, now a year delayed already construction. But for me, being a non-San Diego native, it doesn't bother me in that sense of that hurt of being a local guy who's lost their team that's moving.
Yeah, I think we're a lot because we're removed from it. Over in the UK, I think we're a lot more accepting that that's the way it is because it's a franchise. You think about when there was a football, there was a team called Wimbledon. When they moved to Milton Keynes, which was essentially, in a completely different county, and there was uproar about that. And it's not the way that we see that. But I think within the American football sphere, we're a lot more accepting of it and understanding that that is it. It is a business, and they're not shying away from that fact.
Well, we were messaging each other early in the week about, in reality, nobody's barely playing for their team name. We've got two teams playing in New Jersey that now that aren't in New York. As
The
you mentioned, we've got,
San Jose
yeah, Santa
49ers.
Clara. And any of you guys who used to play things like Pro Evolution Soccer, it reminded me greatly of when you had things like Northwest Red to describe Manchester United. And now it's a bit like that. It's the West Coast gold miners and the New Jersey aeroplanes. But these teams move around, and as you say, it's not such a big deal for us because it's so different to what we have here. So it's going to be good, I think, long term for the Chargers. I do say, I guess I am excited because I have a bookmark link to the live web streams of the construction site at Hollywood Park.
And I when I came down for a meeting I had down there and stayed with you, I believe you were reading the paper and watching the construction when I came in.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, so far it's quite tedious because literally they have moved an epic ton of soil and dug down very deep, which when you look at the renderings of the stadium, it does look pretty cool. That it takes me back to my youth in the old stadium in Southampton we had here called the Dell, because the pitch was dug down way below the surrounding street level. And this is how it's going to be similar here, that you walk in at almost the top of the seating area off the ground level.
Oh,
So
really?
it's quite deep. And I believe things like the new camp in Barcelona is a bit like that. So they could build up high but not have to construct as high. You dig down in the middle. So it's been fascinating watching. There's a lot of steel and concrete going in now in the giant sand bowl that you see in LA. But
If we haven't lost viewership already, we've definitely lost. Save it for the construction podcast.
well, indeed, but I say the one good thing about it is that you do get a daily check of the LA weather, which that's about as more consistent than the actual big picture of the giant bowl of sand that they've dug. It's just sunny every day. wind you up, as we're now got, having a bit of a topsy-turvy July. It's been cold, it's been wet, sun
Yeah.
seems to have gone, but
Well and
fingers crossed
truly.
it'll come back.
We shall
Otherwise your
think it.
golf game's going to take a hit.
It is.
Which has been one of the major developments in this downtime from podcasting, is your golf game's gone to the next level. And
It has. I have lost a few shots in the old handicap down to 14, so
splendid effort.
yeah, I lost three shots, that's good.
Yeah, hitting the range weekly, playing weekly,
Yes, taking it far too
spending all your
seriously.
hard-earned cash on money.
You've got to spend it on something, haven't you?
Yeah,
Can't take it with you.
spend it before the wife gets to it.
Yes, she doesn't listen to this podcast, but she is out on a night out at a hen do on my dime.
What a pro.
I know.
Seeing as we're now talking about Hindus, golf and construction sites,
Yeah, I think now is a good
probably
time. Probably a good time to end it. About in the edit, you can probably go back about 10 minutes and find a suitable point.
well, we endeavour to take on board any constructive criticism, and on our
We
very
don't.
last
No, we
podcast we
don't.
did.
We've got very, very fragile egos. Be very gentle with us.
Well, I was just going to take us back to our very last episode. Somebody who I've never heard from previously, so not somebody we know, but basically left a comment on our site to say you could say everything we said in about half the time. So we will try and heed that advice going forward, I suppose, and keep more to the point. I think it's just more our tone and our dulcet tones from over here in the UK. Maybe it doesn't quite fly with the general sports talk radios in America, which seem to be a bit more up in your face. That's my reasoning behind it. So, but you can always listen to our podcasts at the 1.5 speed. I find that does make it extremely pleasant.
You're really selling it. You're really
I
selling it.
know. Well, we hope you all listen to our future podcast, which we will
Exactly.
see how
Half century next time.
yes, we must make the half century for sure, so I'm sure we will be back, and just see where it takes us as we as
Who's can are we getting
the
ca are we getting cancelled?
Oh dear,
It's been a pleasure.
it absolutely has. You can obviously follow us both on Twitter. I am at Stephen Rudkin. Roger is at Roger M. Kirby. Don't forget the M. I got back in the swing of tweeting a bit more recently, and need to up my game there. So it's if you want to hear a few rants from me, you can follow me there on Twitter.
I enjoy the cricket ones especially.
Yes, it's I've been watching a bit of cricket this summer, and yeah, not a lot's changed. In all these years of not being involved in the sport. So anyway, this has been fun.
Has.
So we will see you next time.
I've been sipping a tea.